All right, you guys get to hear me talk now. My name is John Snyder. I'm an assistant professor for the University of Georgia at the Tifton campus, and I'd like the opportunity to talk to you today about temperature responses in cotton. Specifically, the title here is Field-Grown Cotton Cultivars Exhibit Genotypic and Seasonal Differences in Photosystem II Heat Tolerance. And so just a sort of brief introduction about why study temperature. And you've heard a lot about temperature today, especially when they started talking. There was a talk about monitoring water status with canopy temperature and that type of thing. One of the big things, and that was brought up in this discussion here with Mahan's talk, is that cotton in most situations, most production scenarios, at some point during the season will be in excess of that optimum temperature for cotton. And then, from an irrigation scheduling standpoint, there's a lot of talk about using canopy temperature there. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about is when we talk about drought stress, heat stress usually occurs concomitantly with that. That just means when those stomachs close due to drought stress, then the temperature of the leaf heats up, even if the air temperature hasn't changed necessarily. And then if we can find ways to improve heat tolerance, then this may, decrease year-to-year variability associated with temperature extremes. And so this next session is talking a little bit about chlorophyll fluorescence methods for identifying heat tolerance. Fluorescence, you've probably seen it a lot in the literature if you've looked around a little bit, because it's a really rapid method. You can go out and push a button and get a reading in about a second. People tend to like to get measurements that way. It's potentially useful for screening purposes, and a number of fluorescence parameters have been used. You see that FVFM there, that's maximum quantum efficiency of photosystem II. It's kind of the standard in the literature there. The actual quantum yield under illuminated conditions, you can measure the actual quantum yield of electron transport under field conditions, and then this FVF0 ratio have all been used to quantify abiotic stress responses in cotton. And as I said, one of the standard methods, this FVFM, is a measure of photosystem II status, and it's probably one of the most widely used. And there is some report in the literature with other species that photosystem II acclimates. If it's had previous exposure to high temperature or water stress, that photosystem II will actually be more thermotolerant following that exposure, but that hasn't really been shown in cotton. If anything, there was some report to the contrary. And so we hypothesized that differences in photosystem II thermostability would exist in commercial cotton cultivars, and that as water deficit and high temperature conditions were experienced during the growing season, that photosystem II heat tolerance would be improved. And so the objectives were to measure high temperature thresholds for these cotton cultivars throughout the growing season, and then also at the same time measure, do field measurements of leaf water potential, electron transport, and then climatological parameters in the field as well. So for this study, there were three sample times, and this was both Pinhead Square, First Flower, and Peak Bloom, two locations, Tifton, Georgia, and Marianna, Arkansas. Three cultivars there. The fourth main stem node below the apical meristem was used at all, for all sampled leaves. And this was a randomized design. There were four replicates in Marianna, six in Tifton. Tifton was a dry land setting. Marianna was furrow irrigated. And just to kind of go over some of the measurements, what I will say at the Marianna location, we did not do these field measurements that I'm going to talk about initially, but we did do the temperature response curves at the different times during the growing season. I show an infrared temperature gun there. That's not entirely correct. I measured using the thermocouples, the type K thermocouples, leaf temperature and air temperature in the field, and then midday water potentials. Actual quantum yields and electron transport rates with the fluorometer there. And then the leaves were allowed to dark adapt overnight. And so this is essential to making sure that the leaf is dark adapted so that you get a maximum quantum yield. And those leaves were then transported, and segments of them were exposed to a range of temperatures, essentially 15 to 45 degrees C, 5-degree increments, and 5 minutes incubation at each temperature. And the maximum quantum yield was measured at each of those temperatures. So just to give you an overview of our study sites, if you'll look there, the first one is in Tifton, Georgia. We had three sample dates there. And if you look at the maximum temperature, it's right around, as an average, right around 30. So pretty nice conditions throughout the growing season in terms of optimal temperatures for cotton. And then if you look at, I also went ahead and included the days that were greater than or equal to 35, as that seems to be a threshold in the literature there as well. And if you look at the two locations, in Marianna, if you look at the days greater than 35, I mean, there was 20 days greater than 35 at the first flower sample time, whereas we only had two in Tifton. And then, on the peak bloom sample date, you can see there were still two in Tifton. There's 30 days greater than 35 degrees. It was pretty hot there. So nice contrasting conditions. You see the irrigation or the precipitation there, but you know, the Tifton location was dry land, but in Marianna it was furrow irrigated. So a little different systems there. For Tifton, again, the field data is for Tifton. If you look, it's a flat line for leaf temperature throughout the growing season, right around 32. And leaf to air temperature differences weren't different. There was a small difference in air temperature during the growing season and some change in leaf to air vapor pressure deficit on that last sample date. But one of the big things that really stands out there in Tifton, even though the temperatures were pretty stable and they weren't excessively high temperatures, midday leaf water potentials changed pretty drastically during the growing season. All sample dates were different. You can see we went from a little above 1 megapascal to negative 1 megapascal to negative 3.1 megapascals, and these leaves were severely wilted. Clearly on that sample date, these plants were under severe stress. And so for the field fluorescence data, I just kind of want to point out, if you look in C and D there, I'm going to focus on those because the other parameters are really used to calculate the actual quantum yields, and then of course with light intensity we calculate electron transport rate. And if you'll look there, the main thing that I want to point out is, if anything, electron transport rate through photosystem 2 was a little bit higher. It either remained stable or it was a little bit higher on the date that we had the highest level of drought stress, I would say. So, it just didn't respond negatively to that. And so this next thing is just to show the threshold temperature determinations, those leaves that were transported back to the laboratory and exposed to those range of conditions. What we did is we used this T15, the temperature at which a 15% decline from the maximum occurred, as just our standard across all the cultivars. And you can see, and I just wanted to point this out, nothing's being hidden here or anything, in some instances, in the more extreme environments, the temperature at which the 15% decline was projected to occur was actually beyond the range of data there. But you can see how this parameter was measured, was determined. And so for Tifton, if you'll notice here, we have a significant difference in the cultivars. We had about 499 had about a 4 to 5 degree difference in this T15 value, indicating that it was more thermostable. And then there was a sample date effect, and the interesting thing there is we had, if you look at the July 10th sample date, water potential that was really low that day, high stress conditions, the T15 value was the highest on that date. And then for Marianna, again, under the more extreme conditions, we did not see a difference between the two cultivars that were common in both studies there. We did see a significant increase with the sample date. So the peak bloom sample date, where we had, obviously the higher average temperatures and just more exposure to days greater than 35, photosystem 2 definitely was more thermotolerant on that sample date. And then this last thing, we had data from both locations. We had the average maximum temperature leading up to that sample period, and then we also had the T15 data from both locations. So using this and regressing the T15 on the average T-max at the time the leaf was sampled, we get a pretty strong relationship there. I think this is pretty good evidence for acclimation of photosystem 2 to high temperature. So with that, the overall conclusions are that photosystem 2 does acclimate based on prevailing environmental conditions. And so from the standpoint of using this as a screening tool, you can see where this is a little bit problematic to some folks if you're kind of seeing a moving target throughout the season. But anyway, and that photosystem 2 is extremely tolerant to high temperature and water deficit stress. If you see those T15 values, there's not a situation where the T15 value is even close to the air temperature. It was much higher than the air temperature. So, it's very tolerant. And then, of course, the water deficit stress, the evidence for that is those electron transport rates out in the field were not negatively impacted. And then this last statement, of course, this was at one location where we did see differences between the cultivars, and just the argument would be that, genetic variability does exist for heat tolerance, even within the commercial cultivars that we have, that we grow in the southeast. So now that's for, again, for photosystem 2. So with that, I'd like to thank everyone involved in this, University of Georgia, Georgia Cotton Commission, Cotton Incorporated for funding, and then everyone there that has an asterisk by their name, they were co-authors on a paper that was recently published from this work in the Journal of Plant Physiology. So with that, I'd be happy to entertain any questions that you may have. All right, no questions. I guess that's good. I don't know. All right. Let's see here.